Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive.
Yeah.
Today we're tackling something that I think we've all probably experienced at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
You know that moment when you realize your website has basically fallen off the map of the internet?
Like you just disappeared?
It's like you're putting in all this work, creating content, building your site.
Right.
And then poof.
Nobody can find you.
Gone for the search results. Yeah. It's like shouting into a void, right?
Absolutely. And it can be so disheartening, especially when you don't know where to even start fixing things.
Right.
Like, where did I go wrong?
Exactly. So that's why we're here today, armed with some fantastic insights from recovering from SEO mistakes, rebuilding rankings.
Oh, classic.
Yeah, we're going to break down those common SEO slip-ups that can send your rankings into a tailspin.
Love it.
And more importantly, we're going to equip you with the tools and strategies to get back on track and climbing those search engine ladders again.
Back to the top.
Back to the top. You know, the source kicks off with a really clever analogy, comparing your website to a lemonade stand.
I love a good analogy.
Me too. It just makes things so much easier to grasp.
Totally.
So think about it. SEO is basically all the stuff you do to make your lemonade stand the most awesome one on the block.
Right.
You want it to be bright and colorful with clear signs so people know exactly what you're selling.
And you want it to be in a prime location, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You got to be where the thirsty crowds are. When your rankings drop, it's like your stand has been kind of pushed to the back alley.
How to say that of mine.
Yeah, fewer people are seeing it, so fewer people are stopping by for a refreshing glass of your content.
Makes sense. So how do we get out of that back alley and back to the main street?
Well, let's dive into some of the common pitfalls that can land you there in the first place.
Okay, let's do it.
The first one the source highlights is not using the right keywords.
Ah, yes, the classic keyword conundrum.
Now, for those who might be newer to this whole SEO thing, keywords are essentially the terms people type into search engines.
Right?
To find what they're looking for.
The magic words.
The magic words.
Yeah.
And if you're using the wrong ones, it's like you're speaking a different language than your audience.
Yeah, you're basically invisible to them.
Totally. The source gives this hilarious example of a website filled with funny cat videos trying to rank for keywords like serious cats.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, but you can see why that wouldn't work, right?
Completely. Like, who's searching for serious cats when they're looking for a good chuckle?
No one.
Exactly. So how do we avoid this keyword catastrophe?
Well, the source recommends tapping into tools like Google's Keyword Planner.
Ah, yes. A staple for any SEO toolkit.
Have you used that one a while?
Oh, yeah. It's a lifesaver. It's like having a direct line to Google's brain.
Wow. So it can really help you understand what people are actually searching for?
Absolutely. You can plug in a general topic like cat videos, and it spits out a whole bunch of related keywords. It shows you how often people are searching for those terms and even how competitive they are. So you can find those sweet spot keywords that are relevant to your content and have a good chance of ranking well.
So instead of serious cats,
right,
you might go for something like hilarious cat videos or funny cat compilations.
Much better.
Much better.
Now you're speaking the language of your audience.
Okay, so keywords checked off the list.
What's next?
Next up is a big one. Slow website speed.
The dreaded loading wheel of doom.
I know. We've all been there impatiently tapping our fingers waiting for a page to load.
It's torture.
It is.
Yeah.
And you know, the source paints this really vivid picture comparing it to being stuck in a ridiculously long line for ice cream on a scorching hot day.
Ah, the worst.
Right. You're parched? You just want that ice cream, but the line is moving at a snail's pace.
And you're melting.
Exactly. And just like in that scenario, people are going to start giving up and walking away if your website takes forever to load.
Makes sense. No one wants to wait around.
And not only is it frustrating for visitors, but it also sends a big red flag to Google.
Right, because Google wants to provide the best possible experience for its users.
Exactly. So if people are bouncing off your site because it's slow wait, Google's going to take notice. And probably lower your rankings.
Yeah, because slow loading equals bad user experience.
Precisely. So how do we speed things up and avoid those digital meltdowns?
Well, luckily, the source has some practical advice for us.
Lay it on us.
First off, they recommend using Google PageSpeed Insights. It's a free tool that analyzes your website and tells you exactly what's slowing it down.
Oh, that sounds super helpful.
It is. It gives you specific recommendations like compressing images or minifying code, which can make a huge difference.
Okay, so compressing images, what does that actually mean?
It's basically like squeezing the air out of a balloon.
Okay.
You're reducing the file size of the image without sacrificing too much quality.
Oh, interesting. So it loads faster, but still looks good.
Yeah, exactly. And minifying code, that's just a fancy way of saying you're removing all the unnecessary spaces and characters from your website's code, which can make it run more efficiently.
I see. So it's all about streamlining things.
Exactly. And another important tip is choosing a fast web hosting provider, because that can significantly impact your site speed as well.
Right. It's like having a super speedy delivery service for your website.
Yeah, they make sure your content gets to your visitors as quickly as possible.
Awesome. So we've got our keywords sorted and our website is running like a cheetah.
We're on a roll.
What's the next hurdle we need to clear?
Well, in this day and age, we can't forget about our mobile users.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The source puts it really well. They say ignoring mobile users is like trying to play your favorite video game on a tiny cracked screen.
Ouch, that's a painful image.
Right. It's just not a good experience.
And with so many people browsing the internet on their phones these days,
Yeah.
you're potentially alienating a huge chunk of your audience.
And Google knows this.
I do.
They've been pushing hard for mobile-friendly websites for years now.
Absolutely. In fact, they even prioritize sites that are optimized for mobile in their search results.
Wow, so it's not just about user experience, it's also a ranking factor.
Hey, it's both.
So how do we make sure our websites are playing nicely with those smaller screens?
The key is responsive design.
Responsive design.
It's a way of building websites that allows them to adapt to any screen size, whether it's a desktop, a tablet, or a phone.
So the layout, the images, the text, they all adjust automatically.
Exactly. It's like magic.
It does sound kind of magical. And the source also emphasizes the importance of actually testing your site on a real mobile device.
Oh, yeah, that's crucial.
Right, because what looks good on your giant desktop monitor might be a total nightmare to navigate on a phone.
Exactly. You got to put yourself in your visitor's shoes. Can they easily read the text?
Yeah, can they tap the buttons without accidentally hitting something else?
Right. You want to make sure the experience is smooth and enjoyable no matter what device they're using.
Okay, so mobile optimization. Another box ticked.
We're making progress.
Let's move on to the fourth common mistake, which is skipping title and meta description.
Ah, yes, the unsung heroes of SEO.
Now, these are those little snippets of text that show up in the search results, right?
Exactly. The title is the blue clickable headline, and the meta description is the short paragraph of text underneath.
Right. And the source makes this great comparison to the cover and blurb of a book.
I love that analogy.
Me too. It really highlights how important those first impressions are.
Totally. Just like a catchy title and intriguing blurb can make you want to pick up a book.
Right.
A compelling title and meta description can entice people to click on your website in the search results.
They're your chance to grab attention and tell people what your page is all about.
And they also give Google valuable clues about the content of your page, which can help with ranking.
Right. The source gives this example of a gardening website with a title that's just a random string of letters like XYZ123.
Yikes, that's not going to win any awards.
No, it's like trying to sell a book with a blank cover.
Exactly. So what should we be doing instead?
Well, the source stresses the importance of creating clear and concise titles that accurately reflect the content of the page
Right.
and incorporating relevant keywords so people in search engines know what they're clicking on.
And the meta description should expand on the title, providing a more detailed but still enticing summary.
Think of it as your elevator pitch for that specific page.
You've got a limited amount of space to make a good impression and convince people to click through.
Okay, so we've got our keywords, our website's speedy and mobile friendly, and we've crafted some killer titles and meta descriptions.
We're unstoppable.
Almost there. But there's one final piece of the puzzle that's arguably the most important.
I'm intrigued. Let's hear it.
Not having quality content.
Ah, the foundation of it all.
Exactly. And the source uses this brilliant analogy, comparing it to a library filled with nothing but scribbles and gibberish.
Oh.
Imagine walking into a library hoping to find a good book, and all you see are pages of meaningless scribbles.
Total waste of time.
Totally. You'd walk right out, wouldn't you?
For sure.
And that's exactly what visitors will do if they land on your website and find nothing but thin or irrelevant content.
Yeah, Google's getting really good at recognizing and rewarding websites that offer high-quality, valuable content.
Right. It's all about providing a good user experience and answering those search queries in a meaningful way.
So what does quality content actually look like in practice?
Well, the source gives some great examples, like helpful articles that answer specific questions,
Right.
informative videos that demonstrate a process.
Love those.
And engaging images that add value to the text.
It's all about creating something that your audience will find useful, informative, or entertaining.
And it will keep them coming back for more.
Right. It's like building a loyal readership or viewership.
Exactly. So we've covered some of the common pitfalls now. Let's shift gears and talk about how to recover if your website has already taken a hit.
Okay, let's get into the recovery plan.
The source outlines some really practical tips, and the first one is so simple, yet so crucial. Monitor your website regularly.
This is like SEO 101.
It is, and the source compares it to checking your homework for mistakes.
Makes sense. You got to catch those errors before you turn it in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there are some fantastic tools that can help you keep tabs on your website's health.
Like what?
Well, Google Analytics and Google Search Console are your best friends here.
Oh, yeah. Those are essential.
Google Analytics gives you a ton of data about your website traffic, how people are interacting with your pages, where they're coming from.
It's like a treasure trove of information.
And Google Search Console gives you insights into how Google sees your website.
Right.
Any technical issues they've found, how your site is performing in search results.
It's like having a direct line to Google's web crawlers.
It is. So checking these tools regularly is crucial for spotting any red flags and taking action before things spiral out of control.
Absolutely. It's like getting regular checkups for your website.
Exactly. The second tip is to fix technical problems.
Now we're getting into the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, and the source mentions some common culprits like broken links, slow loading speed, and those pesky mobile usability issues we talked about earlier.
Right, these are like roadblocks that are preventing both visitors and search engines from accessing your website properly.
You gotta clear those roadblocks ASAP.
And if you're not a tech whiz yourself, the source wisely suggests enlisting the help of a web developer.
Yeah, sometimes it's worth calling in the experts.
Absolutely. They can diagnose and fix those technical gremlins so you can focus on other aspects of your website.
Okay. Technical problems addressed. What's next on the recovery checklist?
Update your content.
Yes. Keep things fresh and relevant.
Exactly. The internet is constantly evolving, so it's important to make sure your content is up to date.
Right, because outdated information can not only turn off visitors, but it can also hurt your rankings.
Yeah. Google loves fresh content.
So revisit those older blog posts, those landing pages, those product descriptions.
Right.
See if there's any new information you can add, any stats you can update, any outdated advice you can revise.
And don't forget about adding new content regularly, too.
Right. That's key for showing Google that your website is alive and kicking.
It's like giving your website a fresh coat of paint.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Tip number four is to build quality backlinks.
Ah, yes, the holy grail of SEO.
We touched on this earlier, but can you remind us why these are so important?
Sure. Backlinks are essentially links from other websites to your website.
Right.
And Google sees them as votes of confidence.
Like recommendations from other reputable sources.
Exactly. And the more high quality backlinks you have, the more authority Google gives your website.
Which can lead to higher rankings.
It's like getting endorsements from industry leaders.
So how do we go about getting these coveted backlinks?
Well, the best way is to create amazing content that people naturally want to link to.
Right. If you're providing valuable information or resources, other websites will be more likely to cite you as a source.
Exactly. You can also reach out to other websites in your niche and see if there are any opportunities for collaboration or guest posting.
Okay, so it's a combination of creating great content and building relationships.
Absolutely. And remember, quality over quantity when it comes to backlinks.
Right. One link from a super authoritative website is worth more than 100 links from spammy or irrelevant sites.
It's all about building a network of trust and credibility.
Awesome. Okay, tip number five is a reminder to be patient.
Yes, the hardest part of SEO.
It is. The source compares it to planting seeds and waiting for flowers to bloom.
I love that analogy.
Me too. SEO is a long game.
It's not a quick fix.
It takes time for Google to crawl and index your changes and for those changes to have an impact on your rankings.
So don't get discouraged if you don't see results overnight.
Right. Just keep tending to your SEO garden and eventually those flowers will start to sprout.
And bloom.
And bloom. And finally, tip number six is to seek professional help.
Sometimes you need to call in the reinforcements.
Absolutely. If you've tried all the DIY tips and you're still struggling, or if you just don't have the time or expertise to handle SEO yourself,
right,
then hiring an SEO expert or agency can be a wise investment.
They can help you develop a tailored strategy, identify any underlying issues, and get your website back on track.
It's like having a personal trainer for your website's SEO.
Exactly. So to sum it all up, recovering from SEO mistakes is definitely possible.
It is.
It requires understanding those common pitfalls, taking those practical steps to correct them,
Right.
and remembering that SEO is a journey, not a destination.
And as the source so beautifully puts it, it's like tending a garden.
You need to nurture it consistently.
Give it attention, effort, and patience.
And eventually you'll reap the rewards of a thriving online presence.
And even if you've made some mistakes along the way,
Right.
it's all part of the learning process.
Even the experts make mistakes sometimes.
They do. So don't beat yourself up. Just keep learning, keep experimenting, and keep growing.
And enjoy the journey.
Exactly. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I'd like to leave you with a thought-provoking question.
Okay, hit me.
What is one area of your website or online presence that you feel might benefit most from a little extra attention?
That's a good one.
What's that one thing you've been meaning to fix or improve, but haven't gotten around to yet?
It's always good to have a little self-reflection.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And a huge thank you to Jo Medico, Director of Client Services, for sharing her insights in recovering from SEO mistakes.
She's a wealth of knowledge.
She is. And I love that the source also gives us a glimpse into her life outside of work.
Yeah, it's nice to see the human side of things.
Totally. You know, she enjoys spending time with her son, exploring local cafes, and staying active outdoors.
Sound like a well-rounded individual.
It does. It reminds us that there are real people behind these digital strategies, and that it's all about finding that balance between work life and everything in between.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, that's all for today's deep dive, but the conversation doesn't have to end here. Head over to our website or social media channels to share your thoughts, your questions, your own SEO wins and fails.
We love hearing from
We
you.
do. Until next time, keep those websites thriving and keep exploring those digital frontiers.
Happy optimizing.
Happy optimizing.
Bye, everyone.
See ya.